to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Dear listeners, greetings and loving Sairam from Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. I am Raghu from Radio Sight team, and now it's the time for the segment Soul Inspirations. At the very outset, dear listeners, as always, let us all collectively offer our most humble, prayerful and grateful pranams at the lotus feet of the voice and the listener of Radio Sight, that is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. A warm welcome to all of you, dear listeners, for today's Thursday Live. Today is 31st of May and the time right now in our studio is 11 a.m. Indian Standard Time. Well, the weather and climate here at Prashanthi Nilayam is quite pleasant. The temperatures have slightly come down and today is 31st of May. From tomorrow onwards, the educational institutions are going to start their new academic year. So the vacations are over and now it's time for action for all the students and teachers of Swami's educational institutions. All right, this is a segment Soul Inspirations and today I am going to play for you a talk by Brother Basanta Sharma, who gave this talk in Swami's institute when he was pursuing his M.Tech. And in the talk, he is going to talk on the topic Swami's love. So before I play for you the talk, I want to share with you a couple of beautiful incidents which shows Swami's love, the divine love. Okay, the first incident which I'm going to share with you happened way back in 1940s or maybe in the early 1950s. Swami was in his teens or maybe in his early 20s. Those days, it was very difficult to come to Puttaparthi. People had to cover the last lap of journey to Puttaparthi in bullock carts. And they had to cross the river Chitravati. And when the river Chitravati used to flow or used to be in spate, it used to be difficult to cross the river. But still, devotees used to come to Puttaparthi. In fact, I would like to share another incident which used to happen during these days. Swami used to welcome all the devotees who used to come during those times because it used to be very difficult to come to Puttaparthi, as I said, and Swami used to welcome them, Swami used to take, and whoever used to come to Puttaparthi, Swami used to talk to them, shower his love and grace immensely. So much so that it seems once a group of devotees were coming in bullock cart, were just crossing the river Chitravati, and they found a boy sitting on a stone. There were a few cows around the stone and the boy had a stick. So this group of devotees got down from the bullock cart in Chitravati River and they were just coming and this boy, they met this boy. They thought this boy must be some cowherd boy and they asked the boy about Swami and this boy whom the devotees thought was a cowherd boy took the devotees, guided them to go to the ashram and the boy also showed them the place where they can stay and instructed and gave them the different instructions as to at what time they can go for bhajans and have Swami sessions and other things. And these devotees were making themselves comfortable and in the evening during bhajan time, they went to attend the bhajans and at that time they see this very boy whom they thought was a cowherd boy sitting on a throne. And the thing was, the boy was none other than Swami himself, and this was the reception that Swami used to, this was the welcome that Swami used to give the devotees. So much love Swami used to shower on the devotees during those days. And the real incident that I want to share is that those days there was one lady who came to Puttaparthi for the first time, of course. She was Mrs. Kamala Sarthi, and she narrates what had happened. She came, before she came to Parthi, she was follower of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, the Ramakrishna order, and Ramakrishna Paramahamsa always used to discourage the Siddha Purushas from using their Siddhis. Using the Siddhis means materializing objects, creating objects. So she was against such things, and she just came to Puttaparthi to see who this Baba was, and she didn't believe, she just thought this Baba was some Siddha Purusha. And during those days, Swami used to take the devotees to Chitravati to have a Chitravati session. The popular Chitravati session, which we all know, Swami used to sit with the devotees in the sands of Chitravati, and he used to create lot of objects from fruits. Swami used to create fruits. Swami used to take fruit from the sands of Chitravati. Swami used to materialize idols of different gods and goddesses and many things. And Mrs. Kamala Sarathi was a silent witness for all this. And somehow after seeing all this, she was feeling uncomfortable, because he used to think, okay, this Baba, Sai Baba, Siddha Purusha is simply wasting his power by creating things. But when she was witnessing things, she witnessed one incident which really touched her. In fact, changed her life. She saw that a group of devotees had come to Parthi, and they were leaving Swami. They were going back to their homes. So before going back home, they took Swami's Pad Namaskar, and they were shedding tears profusely, because they didn't want to go back home. They wanted to stay with Swami always. But Swami was consoling them. Swami was telling them, see, don't worry, go back home, come back after few months. It's not that you can stay here always. You have your duties at home. So go back home. Don't worry. I am there. So Swami used to console the devotees in this way. And then unwillingly the devotees used to get into the bullock cart and they used to go. And Swami used to stand there waving his kerchief to these devotees. And the devotees also used to wave back till they go off. So Mrs. Kamala Sarathi was witnessing this scene, and suddenly she started thinking that just because a Siddha Purusha is creating objects, people can't get attracted to such person in this manner. People can't shed tears just because they are leaving this Siddha Purusha. So this is something different. And she thought that this must be the power of a different kind of love, a divine love. And when this thought came to her, she found that someone was patting her back from behind, and she turned, and it was Swami himself. And Swami told her, Mrs. Kamala Sarathi, correct thought. Just keep thinking on these lines, and you may understand me. So it is the divine love which used to attract devotees those days and even now. In fact, I want to share with you another incident which happened much later. Well, the first incident happened when Swami was on his teens, and this incident which I'm going to share with you happened when Swami had started his educational institutions, and this incident happened when Swami's boys were interacting with Bhagwan. So one day Swami wanted to share with his boys how he created objects, how he created rings and chains. In fact, dear listeners, in one of the earlier Thursday live sessions, I have shared this incident with you all, but I want to share it again. So Swami said, see, boys, there are three ways in which objects can be materialized. The first way is the worldly way, where people go to a factory, people collect the raw materials, and in the factory, rings and other things get materialized. And then there is another way, the way of the Siddha Purushas, where people, due to their penance and meditation, get few divine powers, and using those siddhas, the divine powers, they materialize things. Then Swami said, see boys, my way is third way. I just think and materialize objects. So when Swami was saying, after Swami said all these things, boy said, Swami, you are God. With using your divine power, you can do anything. And for this, Swami said, no boys, I have not used my divine power for creating objects. Even you can do this. This is the power of purity. Right from the time when I took birth in this world till now, there not even one thought has crossed my mind which has been for my own. That is selfish thought. Each and every thought and action has always been for others. Selfless. So this is the power of the selfless love that I have for others. The power of purity. Alright, dear listeners, now let me play for you the talk which I had promised you in the beginning, which I will be playing today in this segment, Soul Inspirations. So this talk is by Brother Basanta Sharma, which he gave in the institute, Swami's institute, and at the time when he gave this talk, he was pursuing his M.Tech. So let's listen to this talk. The duration of the talk is 11 minutes, and at the end of 11 minutes, I'll be back again. Have a listen, please.
Om Sri Sai Ram. First of all, I offer my most loving pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Swami. A loving Sai Ram to each one of you. Today, I am here to speak about love. But you may be thinking, why love? Why not divine love? Why there is no adjective added to that? Well, I believe that there is only one love. Either there is love or there is not. So, let's talk about love. Well, I may not be directly talking to you about love, defining it and telling you example to show, okay, this is how it is. But I'll share with you an essence of a long and probably which have not ended till now, a series of thought process, which I have been going through from quite some time. So, let me tell you what it is. You know, from my very childhood, I used to have one strange feeling. I used to think that I should not become a burden to anybody. But probably there is something more to it that I think all of us should have understood by now. You know, life has its own way of teaching us lessons. So, even life put me in one such situation which changed my thinking process, and I ended up in something which was soothing my feeling. So, what is that incident? Once I was talking to one small girl who is currently studying in 7th standard. Her mother was by her side. And then I was basically asking her how are her studies. So you know, the first answer which anybody, even including us, would give is it's going on fine, everything is fine. She also did the same. But as I kept on pestering, later on, at some point of time, she started sobbing. So I was thinking, oh, something is there. but I didn't know what it is. Then at that time, her mother pitched in, and she told, you know, she has been feeling guilty. That time I was a little bit taken aback. So I'll give you a brief background of this girl. She actually has some great physical discomforts, and she has visited so many hospitals. She is not fully cured, and her parents are not so well off. Even her studies are being taken care by somebody else's help. So obviously she was a kid in 7th standard, so she had enough intelligence to understand that she has been troubling her parents. Okay, then at that point of time, when her mother explained me all about this, that time I felt, oh, this is the same feeling which I had been having since my childhood, all throughout. But I have to tell something to soothe her out, right? So I was trying her explaining that, no, it's okay, it's fine. You know, there are some people to help you out. You do whatever you can to help yourself out, then one day you'll be alright, and then you'll be able to help others. It came just like that. I explained her and then I left. But as I left, a strong thread was pulled in my mind. A thread of continuous thoughts telling that, oh, I have found something to think on this direction. Something to change my feeling that I should not be a burden to anybody. Then I started following that thought. So many things got revealed, so many questions came across. But I am going to tell you in gist what I have found out by the time I am standing here in front of you. So for that, let me take you back in time. In fact, back to a point when there was no time, there was no universe, nothing was created. There was just this single consciousness all around. Okay? And I and all of us were part of that single consciousness. And since there was nothing, there is nothing to speak about. So let me fast forward. Fast forward to a point wherein I found myself. And then I found God next to me. And He was busy doing something. You know, He was creating something. Then I asked God, God, what are you doing? He replied, my child, I am creating universe. Oh, for whom? For what? Then God smiled and told, child, this is your birthday gift. Oh, that's cool. But I didn't understand what is the meaning of a birthday gift. Fast forward. And then I was hearing some continuous thud in a very repetitive manner. I was in some cozy environment. I could feel that. That means there is something more added to me. Later on I realized that I was inside my mother's womb. My mother was giving me this body at that point of time. Okay, fast forward. At one point of time my mother thought, okay, I have given him enough, so it's time for others also to contribute to him. So she, you know, decided to separate me from herself. Okay? Then I was born. Then I found that there are people, you know, waiting for me. I was thinking, you know, why they are waiting for me? I never did anything for them to inspire to wait for me, right? I was not even born. Then why are they so happy that I am born? Then I found that I was actually helpless at that point of time. I didn't know what my desires are, what my needs are, first of all. When I am hungry, the only thing I could knew was, I felt probably some discomfort, then I started crying. That's all I knew. But there were people who knew what I needed. And then they took care of me. They provided me whatever I needed. I grew up healthy. I started growing up. Then, you know, I came in contact with so many people. I started calling bit by bit. I started collecting knowledge. I started collecting understanding. I started learning language. I started learning what not. I joined school. They taught me. The teachers taught me so many things. I got new friends. I learned so many things from them. I started building one personality. And then I joined college. Then there is something called Swami. Okay, I got introduced to him. He started again, you know, affecting my life. So it went on. And this morning, I walked up to the college. There is this beautiful gathering waiting for my talk. There is this podium set for me. There is this thought process which has been influenced by so many people around me. And what I need to do is just come and deliver it out. I have never done anything myself to build this entity which is standing in front of you today. So, it's beautiful. It's beautiful that I didn't do anything to create myself. Now let's think about what Swami tells. You know, Swami, in all his speeches, he starts with telling embodiments of love. I tried understanding so many of Swami's discourses, but I could not go farther from this first opening statement, embodiments of love, believe me, brothers. Till today, probably I have not understood it fully. But you know, I got this one understanding of embodiments of love. When Swami told embodiments of love, probably he meant that, you know, this embodiment, which has one identity today, is created from the love which is pouring in from so many directions. It has nothing to do with myself. Love came together in bits by bit, bit by bit, and then created this embodiment. So, that is the reason we all are embodiment of love. Got this understanding, and then went little ahead. I started thinking, you know, if there is nothing I can do to myself, then what am I here for? Then when I thought little more, I found that there is nothing I can do to myself, but there is always something which I can do to others. You know, if I don't want to be burdened by somebody, no, that's not the way I have to look at it. I have been built because of somebody else's love, because of so many people's love. So there is nothing wrong in that. But what I have to think is, I should be a blessing to somebody. Probably that is a proper way of looking at it. So, if we think in this line, then there is nothing we need to worry about. Means, if we can constantly remind ourselves of this particular fact, that there is nothing we do to ourselves, but there is always something which we can do to others. You know, when Swami talks about all these vices and all, ego, nothing will come in our place. You know, Swami was aware of this fact probably all the time. That's why Swami was what he was. And there is no difficulty in us being how he was. So that's how I understood what love is. Probably if we think in this line, I'm sure we shall definitely be able to understand each one of them. And understand that they are nothing but the same love, which is getting manifested in all different types, in all different manner. So with this thought, I want to take leave of you. Thank you, Jai Sairam.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, welcome back and a warm welcome to today's Thursday Live. This is the segment Soul Inspirations and I am Raghu from Radio Sai team. What you heard just now was a talk given by Brother Basanta Sharma in Swami's institute, and at the time when he gave this talk, he was pursuing his M.Tech. Well, dear listeners, wasn't that a beautiful talk? In fact, I liked it, and I just have one word, that is wow. I liked Brother Basanta Sharma's flow of thoughts and finally coming to conclusion that whatever we are today is because of others, is because of the love by so many people, the love that has been showered on us. And finally, his thought process concludes with divine love. Whatever we are today is because of divine love. Now the question is, how do we express our gratitude? Again, Brother Basanta has said that we can express our gratitude only through service, only through seva. In fact, it is not just an expression of gratitude, but it is our duty to do service to others. As Swami has said, paropakarartham idam shariram, this very human body is given to you for the service. Alright, with that thought, I would like to conclude this segment with one story. An immortal story written, which has been penned down by James Henry Leake in his immortal poem, Abu Ben Adam. Well, many of you may know this story. I would like to just narrate it once again. So there was this guy, Abu Ben Adam. And one day when he went home in the night, he saw an angel. And the angel was writing down something. And Abu asked the angel, "Angel, what are you writing?" For this, the angel said, "See, Abu, I am writing down a list of names who love God." And Abu, he was a simple man who never prayed or didn't think of God during his day, during his routine, during his schedule. But the only thing that he did was he loved his fellow men. He loved others and he served others. So he asked angel, does the list have my name? And for this the angel said, "No, Abu, sorry, your name doesn't come in this list." And Abu didn't feel anything. And next night, he met the angel, same angel, and he saw that the angel was writing down something. And Abu asked the angel as to what the angel was writing, and now the angel said, "Abu, I am writing down the list of names whom God loves." And again Abu asked the angel, "Does my name come in this list?" And for this the angel said that your name tops the list. Your name is in the beginning of the list, in the list of names whom God loves. And that's only because Abu loved his fellow men and served his fellow men. Well, the moral of the story is we should serve others, and God expects only this. Okay, dear listeners, with this, I end this segment. The time is almost 11:30 Indian Standard Time. And in a while from now, you will be joined by Brother Bishu. Please send us your comments, suggestions and feedback on this segment, Soul Inspiration, by writing to the email listener@radioside.org. Meet you again next Thursday. Till then, Jai Sai Ram.